He satisfies our soul. What a beautiful, beautiful song. As we meditate on the glory and the majesty of God. Good morning. Merry Christmas. And to all of you online, a special welcome to you. If you are a guest or a visitor with us this morning, just a gracious Advent greeting to you today as we gather as the body of Christ once again. And I love the fact that the crowds are getting bigger every week, you know. It's Christmas. I love it. Well, as we begin the message this morning, please join me in a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much as we can gather together and just hear of these wonderful gifts that you have given to us each and every day of our lives. Lord, you are just so gracious to us. Whether we deserve your love and mercy, well, this is up to you. And we are grateful that you see us worthy. But you see us worthy through the shed blood of Jesus. And for him, we all drop to our knees and give thanks. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen. As I say, good morning and welcome as we continue this Advent sermon series on the gift of Christmas. Now you notice I have not been saying the gifts of Christmas, rather the gift of Christmas. We're going to talk a little bit about that maybe a Wednesday night coming up. I'm not sure when that might be. Maybe. It seems to me that that time is 5:30. You're exactly right. 5:30, Christmas Eve. And this is a wonderful time to invite your friends or family, those who perhaps haven't been to church in a while. This is a wonderful time to invite them. But let's get back to the matter at hand here today as we continue in the series, The Gift of Christmas, and how we've been discovering the gifts that God has given us. If you recall, in week one, we had the gift of hope. Hope. It's a yearning for something deep within us, for something better, for something perhaps we don't have. But we've also saw how God fills that hope with his son Jesus. And then in week two, we saw that we received the gift of peace. Because true peace is not the absence of something. Rather, it is the absence of someone. As we have discovered last week, that the peace is not in a place. It's not a destination. It's not a vacation. It is the person, Christ Jesus. True peace can only be found in Christ Jesus our Lord, and that's why Jesus came here. He came here to give us peace. He came that we might have that deep, long-lasting peace in our lives. So the biblical progression of this is hope leads to peace, and we now see that peace leads to joy. Yes, joy. And that brings us to week three, the gift of joy. And joy is something that's talked about, every once in a while in the Bible. How about almost 300 times Scripture talks about joy. And it's amazing how these three gifts are so interdependent. But as the three so far, I really do feel that joy is probably one of the most misunderstood gifts that God gives us every day of our lives. Now, I don't know about you, but I'd like to be around joyful people, don't you? Yeah, I do, yeah. I love to be around joyful people. But displaying joy all the time, if we're honest, can be challenging, yeah. Clearly, we could all use more joy in our lives right now, especially at this time of Christmas, right? I'll give you an example. Last week, and I don't know what I was thinking, so just bear with me, I went to Walmart for some Christmas shopping. uh, I'm a pastor. Jesus tells me to be nice. I'm a pastor. I should remember. Well, first there was the fighting for the parking spaces. You know how that goes, right? Yeah. Guy does like Mach 4 to get around the corner to get the spot that I'm sitting there with my blinker on for 10 minutes, yeah. And that was followed by the pushing and the shoving inside. Well, but at least they were rude. I mean, that's okay, you know, so. And then there was going through the checkout lines. That was fun. The entire time I'm standing there, in what we watched last week, the Grinch saying that maybe Christmas doesn't come from a store, and if that's the case, why am I here? But I was there. But most of us are attracted to an atmosphere of joy, right? We love joyful people. And that's why the message of Christmas is so uplifting. It is a message of joy. In fact, the angel proclaimed that I came to, you know, I announce you the good news that will cause great joy for all the people. And notice the angel says, I bring you great joy. All right. He doesn't just say joy, but rather great joy. And not happiness, by the way, as you had indicated, but joy. Because let's face it, happiness is short-lived. Happiness is often here today, but gone tomorrow. Exactly. Heidi's paying attention. I believe that's because we so often interchange, we confuse the word happy with joy. Because happy is based on, well, circumstances, situations, and conditions. Happiness is an emotional response to what's going on in your life. However, joy is more internal. It's knowledge-based. It's like what Jesus said in our gospel reading today. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love. And this is what, I love what Jesus says here. I'm going to skip down here. I have told you this. Why? Well, so that my joy may be in you, and then that your joy can be complete. How many have read that in Scripture before? Ever wonder what that meant? Your joy may be complete? Yeah, that's a great statement that is so often just overlooked. The joy that Jesus says may be complete in you. And again, joy is not to be confused with happiness. As I said, happiness is dependent upon circumstances. Because when your source of happiness disappears, you know, so too does your happiness quite often. It's not that joy is so misunderstood, we avoid it. No, we like joy. But when your source of happiness disappears, your happiness goes with it. It's not that way with joy. And so I want to challenge your thinking a little bit here this morning. Because first off, joy, it is a gift from God. It is a gift. Just like hope and peace are a gift from God. They are all based upon what God has done for you and also what God has promised to do for you. And joy, also like hope and peace, can only be sustained in Jesus, Christ alone. You know, when we are happy, we smile. It's an outside emotion. It's an outside display of what we think is going on in our lives. But being happy is so often, well, it's temporary. Yet joy is internal, and it will last forever. But still, we live in a society, we live in a world that is always seeking happiness. In fact, you have probably said or have heard somebody say, I just want to be happy. And therein lies the problem. Most people don't even see that that could be a problem. See, in order to be happy, you have to put your trust in circumstances. And if you do that, you will quite often become victim to those circumstances. Because you know your situation will change. The happy situation will dissipate. It will change. It won't be there tomorrow quite often. Versus God, who is unchanging. God is the same today, the same tomorrow, and is the same he'll be forever. Plus, the Bible doesn't say rejoice in circumstances. No, it says rejoice in the Lord, doesn't it? Say yes. Okay. But I want to give you a couple more examples about joy, as opposed to maybe happiness. Because again, happiness is superficial. It meets your earthly desires, your earthly needs. Sometimes even your selfish desires and needs. It's like a thermometer. It registers your conditions and it displays your emotions. Oh, he's mad, I can tell. You know, it's on your face. But joy, however, joy develops character. It supports that deep passion way within inside of you. It supports that knowledge that I was talking about a minute ago. It's like a thermostat. It regulates conditions. It regulates and helps you see things from the right perspective in life. And here's the important part of this, because happiness, well, it'll disappear in suffering. If you're happy and something bad happens, yeah, it's gone. But joy will intensify in times of suffering. And why? Well, because the Holy Spirit is right there with you. You're not alone going through these difficult times. Yeah, it's going to hurt for a moment, right? But the Holy Spirit is there. Now, don't get me wrong. Being happy is a good thing. I love to be happy. I love to be around happy people. But it's even better when your happiness is rooted in joy. Okay, let's look at why. Why joy is so important in our lives. Do you realize that joy is critical to winning people to Jesus? How many of you have even thought about that? I mean, we have nothing more attractive to bringing people to Christ than a joyful spirit, that you're praising God, what he's done for you in your life. Because let's face it, those cold, dry faith proclamations carries little appeal in today's world. But joy, wow. You want it? Why are you so happy? What's going on? Jesus. Yeah. Let me give an example, Old Testament example, David. When he was, well, let's say, out of fellowship with God, he lost his joy, as he says in the Psalms. And when he lost his joy, he literally stopped bringing people to God. He just gave up. So he prayed. We see this in Psalm 51. Restore to me the what, class? Joy of your salvation. And grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways so that sinners will turn back to you. So what is David really saying here? He says, Lord, when I get my joy back, I will be a soul winner for you. You give me joy. So joy is really necessary for two things in life. Number one, it's necessary to bring people to Jesus, and it is necessary to live a fulfilled Christian life. Because if you're not a joyful Christian, well, come and see me because we need to chat. See, the Bible says, serve the Lord with gladness. As a matter of fact, Nehemiah says in chapter 8, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Ever think about that? The joy of the Lord, the joy that you have in your heart for Jesus, that's your strength. It's not your knowledge. It's not your personality. It's the joy of the Lord. That's your strength. And friends, the joy of the Lord, this is a powerful tool that you can use. Sure, yeah, we get tired. We get disillusioned at times. And that's when we need to, like David, pray for the strength that is in his joy. Because joy literally, it floods your soul and energizes your body to keep going when times are tough. Yeah, you can acknowledge the thing that you're going through, but your eternal joy is secure. So to help me help you make sense of this, I've come up with a recipe for a joyful life. But there's only two ingredients, so you really don't need to write them down. It's pretty easy. We'll call this the qualities for a joyful life. And number one, a cleansed life. A cleansed life. To be clean and know that you are clean before God, that is to be forgiven of your sins, to stand in front of the Creator of all things, washed as white as snow. This can cause incredible joy in your life. In fact, we read in Paul's letter to the Romans, "Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and through him we have obtained access by faith into the grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope." Remember that. We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. In other words, we rejoice in the promises that we have received. But you notice the order of things here? And what we've been talking about over the few weeks? Because faith brings justification. And justification brings peace. And then peace brings, wait for it, joy. Yeah. And justification, in case you're sitting back there going, that's one of those fancy church words I really don't like to use, but it means, despite all that we have done, we are washed clean by the blood of Jesus. All the bad, all the unspeakables removed from the ledger by the blood of Jesus. And the righteousness of God is then imputed and given to us. So clean equals joy. Now, let me step back for a little reality check right now. Real world, what robs us of our joy? Sin, plain and simple. Sin robs you of your joy. When we let sin creep back into our lives, we lose our joy. That's why David wrote in Psalm 23, "Lord, restore to me. Give me back that joy I once had. I need it." That's why no matter what happens in our lives, no matter how bad things get, circumstances, friend, and if you don't get anything else from the message, say, get this, circumstances cannot remove your joy. Your house burns down. Bummer. But that can't take away your joy. You go to the doctor and you get not so favorable response. That can't remove your joy. You lose a spouse or a loved one. That cannot take your joy. There is only one thing that can rob you of your joy, and that is sin. Period. So, if there's some sin present in your life, be like David. Pray, "Lord, restore my joy." And that's why most people who have no relationship with Jesus, they're usually not real happy people, are they? No. Yeah, they can be happy from time to time, but what is their happiness dependent upon? Circumstances, exactly. So remember our first point was cleansing. You know what our second point is here today? Confidence. Confidence. Remember what we said in Romans 5? That is the promises of God. That's where our hope comes from. That's where our strength is. We rely on those promises of God. Do you know the number one reason Christians have joy? It is because the Christian, that is the believer in Christ, has the confidence that no matter what happens in his or her life, that their eternal life is secure. Amen to that? Yeah. But there's a flip side to this, always a flip side. You know, one of the saddest words in any language? Hopeless. Hopeless. Yeah. But for the believer in Christ Jesus, being a child of God, there is no situation that we can face that is hopeless. And that, friends, is the reason we have joy. So let me just wrap this all up and tie this together as we move on today, because I know you want to hear more music. I know I do. But Paul gave us some great advice as he's writing to the Romans in chapter 12. Paul says to the Romans, be joyful in hope. And I want to just stop right there. Be joyful in the hope. That's that. Those are those promises that we hang our faith on. The promise that, A, God will never leave us. The promise is, B, that Jesus will come back. The promise is, C, that he will take us to be with him. These are promises that bring us joy. Then he goes on to say, be patient in affliction. When life throws you those curves, well, it's tough. But pray. Get somebody here. Get a Stephen minister. Go in that little room right after communion. And faithful in prayer. Pray. 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 Because I know that no matter what happens in my life, my God is greater. What's that old saying? I don't tell how God my big my problems are. I tell my problems how big my God is. Remember that? Yeah, I love that one. That's why our joy comes from the Lord, not from stuff, not from situations. Sin may break your life. Sin may come in and sneak into your life, but it does not have access to the sanctuary of your hope, your peace, and your joy, because that is Christ Jesus. And friends, your joy is protected by a promise. So to have joy, it all begins with Jesus. So may the hope, may the peace, and the joy be with you always. Amen. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for joy. We thank you for a joy that is steadfast in sorrow, a joy that is present in heartache and lasting despite loss. We pray, Lord, if there are people here today that have not given their lives to you, that they would come to your cross today and experience a peace, a hope, and a joy that can be found nowhere else or in no one else. We pray, dear Lord, that this Advent season, that we may experience the same excitement as when your holy angel proclaimed the birth of our Lord to the shepherds in the fields. Grant us, Lord, a joy that is inexpressible but forever warms our hearts. This we ask in the precious name of Jesus, who is our hope, our peace, our joy, and our Lord. Amen.